When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How about those New York football Giants, Big Blue Bay? Shannon, did you see him? Tommy DeVito, the Paisan? Yeah, he got it done. Shannon, you were feeling good about it. Right. You were like those Giants. Hi, guys. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being with us here on First Take. Yep. Two Monday night games last night. It was a lot of fun. Obviously, Stephen A. already introduced everybody, so we'll get this party started. Do we have an A-list later?
Of course we do. I'm feeling.
Are you feeling a little nervous
that
about it?
That is just bad, man. You know, you're not showing any objectivity.
That's a lie. That's a lie. You just suck up to the Cowboy fans. That's what you've done. Really? You know they vote. That's where you are. I know your game.
It's a setup.
No.
It's a setup.
You're such a dog, man.
Why could I not get into the building? There's like 8,000 cameras, this and that. They're like, oh, there's a Stephen A. shoe. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll just climb up the ladder and get in the building.
Are you ready for this? That was not about me. I did a favor for J.J. Redick and something he's producing.
JJ Redick the next.
I mean, damn, Stephen A is just a regular old dude. You know what I'm saying? Just
that's
regular old
the J.J. Redick operation.
That's the J.J. Redick operation.
Went to Duke. You know,
right.
It all makes sense.
Yes.
We go. All right, let's get into it. Anything can happen on any given Monday. Jess asked the Titans to stun the Dolphins with a 1-point loss, 28-27. Miami blew a 14-point fourth quarter lead and a chance to sit atop the AFC. Here's Mike McDaniel on that lost opportunity.
We all get to share the blame, in my opinion, or at least know the locker room felt 100% responsible. I think that's what you want. I think there's a lot of people that are going to be, it's going to be tough to go to sleep tonight, including myself. So that's not something that you can do and expect to win football games, and you can't. It's a hard lesson, but no league safe. I think that's one of the tougher parts about it.
All right, coming straight to the HOFer here. Shannon, do you trust the Dolphins to make a deep playoff run?
I don't. And Stephen A., we talked about this yesterday. We wanted to see the Dolphins, if they had to step up in competition. They're going to play Buffalo later this year, and they got the Dolphins in 2 weeks. So we wanted to see when they stepped up in competition. Well, hell, allegedly they stepped down in competition. The one thing we know about the Tennessee Titans, coached by Mike Vrabel, is that they're a physical football team. You might beat them, but you don't want to play them again in a couple of days. And the difference in the game was the physicality in which the Tennessee Titans played at. Teams had been 767-0 with a 14-point lead with 3 minutes left in the ballgame. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen at home. 767-0 with a 14-point lead with 3 minutes to go. Not only did they have a 14-point lead with 3 minutes to go, they were at home Saturday in Stephen A. If you are what you believe you are, you must maintain that lead. And what did they do? Three and out. And the Tennessee Titans get the football and go right back down the field. With a Jalen Ramsey, with a Xavier Howard, with a Christian Wilkins, with a supposedly a top-ranked defense. That's not good football. And the team that they got beat by last night, that's not the Ravens. I just don't – it just goes to show me. Tua MVP case took a serious hit last night. He looked very marginal. He looked very average without Tyreek. And the moment Tyreek comes back into the ballgame, the offense gets some fluidity to it. Tennessee probably should have won that game Saturday by 21 points. Had they not had all those miscues, they blow the doors off the Miami Dolphins, especially after Tyreek gets hurt. Yeah, I have my concerns, serious concerns about the Miami Dolphins, because this seemingly is a reoccurring theme from what we've seen from them, especially when they step up in competition. Last night, the Tennessee Titans had been reeling, and they went to Miami and did a job on a Monday night.
Well, let's not forget the fact they got a rookie quarterback. Essentially, this is what happens. And still, they go out there and they outperform the Miami Dolphins. And we also make one of the best cases for Tyreek Hill as MVP was made last night.
Absolutely,
once he went out in the first quarter. We saw how anemic their offense was, which lent itself towards what I've been saying all season long. It's that dude that's been making it happen, not Tua. Tua, when sacked five times last night, when sacked three or more times, more than three times in a game, all right, they're 0-3. When he sacked less than three times, they're 9-0.
Yeah.
That's what the situation is with Miami.
Well, you have learned something. Talking about O-line play?
Yes.
Oh, my word.
Say big man balling. Big
okay.
man balling. That's what I'm trying to say. At the end of the day, what it comes down to is you got to protect him. Tua is great when comfortable. You make them uncomfortable, not so much. This is what it comes down to right here. And then when you look at their play against quality competition, they're still winless, really, against quality competition in the National Football League this year. I take all of those things into consideration. That's what I anticipate you run into once the playoffs arrive. Why should I believe in you? I think that I'm not saying they can't turn it around. I'm not saying they can't win a couple of playoff games. But I think right now, if somebody were to call the Miami Dolphins fraudulent, I can't blame them, because you got to be able to beat quality teams in order to have a legitimacy attached to you. And that is not what we have been seeing from the Miami Dolphins in stiff competition.
Yeah, I will say this. I am not off the Miami bandwagon. I think this is a very good football team that played a really poor game. But I will say it this way. You had Armstead, their starting left tackle, hurt. You had Hunt that was hurt. That was before the game. They lose their center. They fumble a ball. Right, they have three guys at the O-line position. So, Stephen A., you made a great point about Tua as a completely different player when he's getting pressured. He was pressured 18 times last night, sacked five times. Again, I think the most to the season was 11 before last night. So the Titans had a great plan. And also the Titans were taking away the middle of the field from the Dolphins, right, where they've made so many massive plays. Tyreek Hill being off the field for that amount of time was monumental for the Dolphins. Because when we've seen the Dolphins struggle, it really has been about Tyreek, because the timing of their offense is so vital. But here's the thing. Guys are going to get healthy, and they are one of the few teams in the NFL that can explode, similarly to a San Francisco. I'm not comparing them to San Francisco, but they can score with a number of, whether it's Waddle, whether it's Hill, whether it's Mostert, whether it's Achane. They have so many explosive players. Last night, they caught a buzzsaw. And listen, I'm with you. It's a historic loss, right? Mike McDaniel is a great coach. This is a historic loss. Everybody in that locker room feels sick. It is a miserable feeling. But to write them off in the AFC, other than the Ravens, I'll be honest with you, other than the Ravens right now, this is probably the best team in the AFC. They played bad, and it was a bad game. But to knock them out of a playoff run, in my opinion, we're short-sighted as far as
that
stuff
goes. We're not saying we're going to knock them out of the playoff run. We're just saying at this moment in time, because remember, it's fluid.
It's fluid. It's always fluid.
Shannon, it's fluid. You understand what I'm saying? We get all of that. But we're just talking about at this particular moment in time, where you can give them credit and look at them and then say, okay, they're a top two or three team in the AFC. What we're talking about is in terms of their Super Bowl aspirations. As you look at the postseason that is forthcoming and you see what you're seeing from them, their defense was soft as hell last night. I mean, big play after big play, whatever.
Let me say this up to that.
Please.
Phillips being injured has become a problem because they don't have the closing portion of that team to get a sack, to knock Levis, and then they played soft coverage on the back end with the two great corners. That, to me, allowed Levis to stay in this game. Like, at some point, you do got to go be aggressive on defense.
We got to go let it rip.
And they did not do that.
Go, Shannon.
Will Levis is 23 of 38, 327, a touchdown and a pick. Hey, can you imagine what DeAndre Hopkins would look like in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform?
Reach that, bro.
He was free. Remember, he was free.
Yep.
And you thought Sky Moore, you thought Kadarius Toney, you thought MVS. That was the answer. Just imagine if Patrick Mahomes had him. Because he did a job last night on two outstanding corners.
Yes, he did.
Jalen Ramsey didn't see him. Xavier Howard didn't see him. He was cooking everybody.
Yes, sir.
But the problem that I have is, think about it, Saturday, when you look at the AFC, that's Will Levis did that. You don't think Trevor Lawrence can do that? You don't think Lamar Jackson can do that?
Right.
Even Even Kansas City, with all their issues, they still have Patrick Mahomes, and he's already beat them on a neutral site.
Right.
Now, he would probably have to go to Miami, but it gives teams a lot more confidence after seeing what Tennessee did to them, and they said, we're better offensively than Tennessee.
By the way, are we sure he might have to go to Miami? I know you said probably, you weren't definite, but what I'm saying is the only one game less. One game less. They get the same record. If Miami loses another game, Kansas City wins, you get the tiebreaker because you beat them, right?
But here's the thing. The Dolphins really have everything. The Dolphins got the Ravens coming up. So everybody, we can all forecast, but they're going to play them. If the Dolphins win out, everything's going to go through Miami.
But they got
the Jets coming up. Ravens game, like,
Cowboys,
circle that
Ravens,
one.
Bills. Dolphins ain't winning all three.
Thank you, Saturday. Hey, you need to stop that Saturday.
They could easily
be 1-3.
Right.
If they close the quarter pole, they could be 1-3.
Well, I'm not going to tell them they're going to go 1-3, but I would say this, that Ravens game, circle it, because you will then see physicality. You'll see the way the Ravens are playing. You'll see that Lamar Jackson to a matchup. Hopefully,
Ravens
Hill's going to be back.
Ravens been given a little too, though.
I'm telling you, it's the AFC is a lot tighter, and I agree with your point about Kansas City, man. Like, if Kansas City can catch the ball, they scare you. And even the Bills get in by some kind of sneaky chance. Like, Josh Allen. So all these teams got some kind of flaw.
But what we thought was going to happen, we thought the AFC was going to be loaded. We talked about Burrow. We talked about Kansas City and the Buffaloes, and we knew with Kansas. Now it seems like the NFC is with the 49ers, the Cowboys, and the Eagles. And all of a sudden, really, when you look at it, it's really the Ravens, because we have questions about every other team in the AFC not named Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
I got questions about Baltimore, too, though. But okay. I have questions about them, too.
You got less questions.
Less questions.
Fewer.
That's right.
The Dolphins haven't won a playoff game since the 2000 wild card game against the Colts. You know who was on the field for that? Old Blue Eyes.
Why are you bringing
Jeff
up?
Jeff, it was your second season in the NFL.
I know.
Peyton wasn't even going. And we gave it away.
They ran it all over. I remember.
Smith ran
for like 200 yards on y'all.
He really has.
General Hospital,
Is it that Southern living?
You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's get to the one we all really care about. Right. In another close one.
Oh, here we go.
On Monday Night Football, a wild fourth quarter ended with a walk-off 37-yard field goal by Giants kicker Randy Bullock to give New York a 24-22 victory over the Packers with Tommy DeVito at the helm yet again. Here's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on lessons learned.
I think our team learned a valuable lesson in terms of you don't play your best. It doesn't matter who you're playing, where you're playing, and when you're playing, you're not going to win the game. We lost a turnover battle, weren't good enough in situational ball, third down red zone. We had plenty of opportunities. Give New York credit. They went out there. They played better than we did tonight. This game's about execution, and we didn't execute to the best of our ability.
All right, Green Bay committing 3 turnovers last night. Stephen A., I'll start with you. How bad was this loss for the Packers? By the way, Matt LaFleur had been 16-0 in the month of December in his career.
I just finished raving about Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur. I should not have said a damn word.
Cursed him.
I mean, I shouldn't have said a damn word. All of a sudden, you turn around and you do that last night. Now, understand, you talk about Jordan Love. In 6 wins, 1 turnover. In his 7 losses, Shannon, 11 turnovers.
Yeah.
Had a fumble and an interception last night. So that's your problem right there. That's number one. There's a second problem here. You got the second worst run defense in the National Football League, giving up 142 yards per game. Last night, they gave up 209. Matt LaFleur, that's about you. That's about you and your coaches and that team. You got to fix that, okay? Because, listen, when we say you're the second worst run defense in the National Football League, that means it's a problem that has been consistently a problem.
That's right.
Okay? Which means that at some point, you got to do something about it. Make somebody beat you a different way. The Giants sat up there and said, this is how you exploit them, and then went out and took it to another level and rushed for 209 yards. So that's problematic in and of itself. In the end, what it comes down to is this. You're Green Bay, and I thought the way that Jordan Love was flowing, You had yourself looking at him and saying, they're going to be in good hands.
Right.
You also had yourself looking at Matt LaFleur and going like this. All right, he ain't just living off of Aaron Rodgers anymore. This man could coach a little bit. And then suddenly stuff like that happens last night, and you realize that there's still a little something missing, that pulse of the team per se that you have. If you don't have the skills, you don't have the skills. If you don't have the talent, you don't have the talent. But when you're the Green Bay Packers, look at us coming into this season, even though we all assumed that Minnesota was going to win that division. What we said about Green Bay is that the only question mark was Jordan Love.
Right.
But everything else they had there were experienced, savvy, accomplished individuals that had played for years with Aaron Rodgers. So you're looking at it from that standpoint, and you said, all right, they should be okay if Jordan Love could give you something. We just didn't know about him. Now we're seeing this more than just that. Like I said, your run defense, of course, Jordan Love can't turn the football over. I think it's a big-time loss for the Green Bay Packers. I think they'll possibly miss the playoffs because of a loss like this. And if that is the case, obviously that's a devastating blow, because that should not have happened.
Well, I think it hurts more from an emotional standpoint, Stephen A., guys, for the fact of how poorly they played. You know, they gave up explosive plays in the pass game. They turned the ball over on offense. They turned the ball over on defense. On special teams. And they allowed explosive plays both offensively in the run and the pass by the Giants. Tommy DeVito was very decisive. If it wasn't there, he took off running. And he wasn't looking to slide Saturday. He was looking to get first downs. He was looking to get the ball into the end zone. And he was very decisive on where he wanted to go with the football. And the Packers, remember, I keep saying this, you lose ball games by kicking field goals once you get into the red zone. How many times did we see the Packers get into the red zone and they have to settle for field goals? We watched the Giants get into the red zone. They scored a touchdown. That was an outstanding throw by Tommy DeVito right there. But you're right. I just think the thing is right now is that Jordan Love is a young football player, and he's making entirely too many mistakes. And there's a direct correlation tied to when he plays well, he's protecting the football. They're not a good enough team to overcome his mistakes just yet. And so he's going to have to do a better job of taking care of the football. I think if they were to get Aaron Jones back, that would provide a little bit more versatility in their offense, because not only can he run it, he can also catch it. He's more of a dual threat guy than A.J. Dillon. And so, and by that being said, Jordan Love needs to do a better job. He had an opportunity to maybe get a touchdown, but he overthrew the guy. They went out, ended up settling for a field, well, he missed a field goal. But the Giants, give the Giants credit. They played well last night.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it this way. Like, the Packers, for me, they are about on schedule, right? This is the youngest team in the NFL, right? They have the youngest offense by a mile. Like, none of their receivers, tight ends, anybody, have played more than 2 years, right? So now you bring in a guy who's been in the league, but he hasn't played, being in Jordan Love, and he shows up. Here is the issue for Jordan Love. What showed up last night was inaccurate throws. That is what, and listen, when he is playing in rhythm, and you saw as the season progressed, the last few games in particular, he was very accurate with his throws. Last night, he was everywhere. And so I think a lot of that goes back to, it's just typical of young players. You don't know what you're going to get. That's the part that scares me about the Packers, is they can go out, score 21 in the first quarter. All of a sudden, you're like, man, this team is on fire, right? And then they have games like last night where they should move the ball up and down the field on this Giants defense. They should convert in the red zone. And let me tell you, if there's nothing you looked at of LaFleur last night, that dude was pissed, bro. Like, when he was up on that voting, he was hot, because everybody failed, and he knows it, and he knows what they – the opportunity, because the NFC, how many teams are 6-7?
Six teams are 6-7.
That's insanity, right?
Six teams are 6-7.
So he knows that win last night put them in a totally different situation, and they blew it. And it was an opportunity they should have taken advantage of, and they failed, and those things hurt.
Well, listen, I got to tell you this, too. Let's take a moment to give Mr. Dable some props. The Giants they looked like hot trash at the early part of the season. We didn't know. I mean, it was horrible. Look at them right now. And then let me give this praise to DeVito. First undrafted rookie quarterback in NFL history to win three straight starts without an interception.
Yeah.
Without an interception. Yeah. Okay. I'm just looking at this kid right now. We'll talk about it later.
And listen,
they look better with him, Shannon.
He ran it. Listen, he ran it for 70. He ran that ball for 70. No, like, that's
let's expound upon that. Do you agree with him, what he just said, that this Giants team looks better
than what Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, man. Like he wins the game in the end. Like, they have to drive the ball down. The deep over, I can't remember the receiver, at the end of the game on the second and one that he puts that ball on. I mean, it's nasty. Like DeVito, it wasn't like he didn't have to do something. They had to come back to get that win, and he put that together. He was 4-4, 5-5 on that final drive. Like, that's doing something, man. Like, there is, you know, don't ever discredit, like, guys finding ways to win. I think he gives them a spark, and especially physically. You saw that first pull down where he gets to the 1 yard line early before Barkley's touchdown. That's a freaking tough run, man. People are buying in, right? And that's what you're looking for in a locker room.
Go ahead, Shane.
I'm not so sure it wouldn't be a bad idea, even when Daniel Jones come back next year. Hey, I'm going to put the quarterback job up for grabs.
Absolutely, you should.
I'm just not going to hand the ball over to Daniel Jones.
Yes.
No way. Because this young man is playing extremely well. Now, I don't know what he told the offensive line. I don't know what he told his receivers. But they're making plays and they're blocking some of the things that didn't get done when Daniel Jones was the starting quarterback. Give Daboll credit for keeping this team together. Right. But, hey, this kid is showing that maybe he belongs.
Yeah. Not just that. You two are obviously more equipped to answer this question. That's why I'm going to ask. Instead of comment about it, you see cats rallying.
Yes.
Around this.
For sure.
So I'm like, it says something to me.
Yes,
because
does.
I'm like, wait a minute. Those same dudes were not playing like that when Daniel Jones was behind center. Now, is that the coaching? Or is that the fact that these players believe in one more than they believe in the other?
Well,
y'all answer that question for me.
I can tell you, they feel it. Like, so let me, I'll give you an example. Last night when Saquon Barkley takes that thing, has that huge run, then fumbles it, and they end up getting the ball back. DeVito said he walked over to Saquon and like, let it ride because we're going to win this game. Like, there are certain dudes who they got that thing about them, and guys rally around that. When there is a no-die mentality in it, and there ain't no finger pointing, this dude's like, hey, let it ride, because I'm going to go. That, to me, speaks volumes about a team getting behind somebody. Don't you agree, Shannon?
I agree 1,000%. There's something to be said instead of hoping and expecting.
That's right.
It seems to me that when DeVito's in the game, they expect to win. They don't hope, well, if we do this, if our defense get 5 takeaways, if we don't turn the football over, they believe. And you look at the way he was taking off running, Stephen A.
Yeah.
He was decisive. He was trying to hit his head on the goalpost. He wasn't looking for a soft place to land. He was running with conviction. He's like, I'm running for a reason. There's a purpose why I got this ball under my arm. And you watch the way he threw on that final drive. He hit that sail right, and Wandale Roberts turns the ball up.
That's it.
And Roberts, like you said, the over, man, I don't know what it is, but they believe that he can get them a victory. They do believe that.
Stephen, and he's doing it.
And Stephen A., like when you were talking about, do you think they're better because it is – Daniel Jones, the Achilles heel for him has been turnovers, whether it was fumbles, interceptions, inopportune times. And you said it. When the dude goes 3 or 4, I mean, like, he is giving his team a shot to win. That's all you ask for in the NFL.
That's it.
Like, Shane, look, man, you're going to get to the fourth quarter of a lot of games. The last 3 minutes are going to decide it. If you haven't been the guy that's put your team behind the eight ball, man, you've gone a long way in Giants land. Like, that's just the facts for the last few years.
But they got a tough go of it the rest of the way.
No doubt.
In New Orleans, they're in Philly, host the Rams, and then host Philly again.
They could win at least 2 of those games.
It's going to be fun to watch. Mm-hmm. It's always fun to watch.
The way the Eagles are looking, it might be 3 of those games.
Don't you get silly.
I'm just saying.
You think they're beating Philly?
I hope, you know what, I
can't wait to see your top 5. I can't wait to see your A-list. Right now, just from that comment right there.
Man.
I'm ready.
You don't have no objectivity.
All right, let me roll, guys.
Just
still to come on First Take.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod, and have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Quick takes, let's get it. Shohei Ohtani's historic contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers will see him defer $68 million of his annual $70 million salary. Sources with the deal said on Monday. Stephen A., what do you think of him deferring a grand total of $680 million, 97% of his contract? I've never seen anything like this.
I'm just trying to figure out why give it to the Dodgers to handle. So I want all that money. Let me do what I want to do with it rather than you giving it to me later on in life and stuff like that. I understand you. Now, Nessa, I do understand he's trying to avoid those California.
There you go.
Ain't about that.
Chess and checkers, baby.
I understand that, but financial advisors obviously know that all too well, and a bunch of them were texting me last night like, yo, what's he doing? You take that yourself and you defer it. You know what the hell are you giving it to them for? Whatever. I don't know. I'm just going to say this. I imagine he's a highly intelligent individual and he knows what he's doing. I got to look more into this to really have a definitive opinion about it. On its face, I don't like the idea of the Dodgers giving me the money down the line. I just don't. But he knows better than me. In the end, he going to get that $700 million somehow.
He built a house in Florida, Texas, or Tennessee. He built a house somewhere.
Remember what I said yesterday on the show Saturday? Of the $70 million, if he were to get paid $70 million per year, in the state of California, after taxes, he would have got like 34.8.
That's insanity.
34.8
no, sir.
Million.
No, sir.
35 million would have went back to
now, I need all
state
that.
And government and federal government.
Because you understand, 12% on $70 million a year, that's $7.5 million, $8 million. Now, $8 million times 10 is $80 million.
Thank you.
So, you know what? I did really well when I was with the Angels. I made over 100 and something million with them. And California and Uncle Sam is the only guy that ain't got to do no work but get 50%. He need to get his own damn job and stay out of my
That's
pocket.
That's right. Amen to that.
Until we come up with a better solution, guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're preaching on this show.
Shannon is the first person. Shannon Shaw is the first person in American history that said Uncle Sam needs to go get a job.
Yeah.
Get out your pocket.
Man. Yeah, man. It's true, though. Yep. He's right. Uncle said the only person getting paid that don't do no work. Mm. You know?
All right.
I got it.
All right, we're not the only ones fired up here. How about Patrick Mahomes? Never seen him that salty as we did on Sunday. He was livid with officials after that offsides call on Kadarius Toney Sunday and their loss to the Bills. The Chiefs have now lost 4 of 6.
Yep.
Mahomes walked it back yesterday, though.
Now, obviously, you don't want to react that way. I care, man. I love it. I love this game. I love my teammates, and I want to go out there and put everything on the line to win. Obviously can't do that. I mean, can't be that way towards officials or really anybody in life. So I probably regret acting like that. But more than anything, I mean, I regretted the way I acted towards Josh after the game because he had nothing to do with it. So I was still hot and emotional. But you can't do that, man.
All right, Stephen A., do you feel like it's time for Mahomes to publicly call out his receivers?
Yes. I do. That doesn't mean you excoriate them. You throw them under the bus. I'm not talking about something that demonstrative, Shannon, Jeff. But it's like enough's enough of constantly talking about something else other than where the real problem lies. At right. some point in time, it's about this is where we got to fix, because if we fix this, we don't have these problems. You can be nice about it. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be truculent and all of that about it. But you got to be real at some point. And I have no doubt that he's doing this behind closed doors. So I get all of that. But what I'm trying to say is that there have been too many instances where Patrick Mahomes has covered for his receivers, has gone up there and he has said the politically correct thing, the diplomatic thing, or in this past Sunday's game, okay, it's, you know what, hey, it's the officiating and you're going ballistic. 33 drops this year. Mm. 33. They dropping touchdown passes. They're dropping key pivotal first down catches on third down conversions, on third down attempted conversions. You know, Tom, you're lining up offsides, flagrantly so. The referee can't even see the damn football. The receiver on the opposite side is behind the football. He is lined up properly. You are damn, I mean, you're the receiver. You're supposed to be looking on the other side as well. You don't, I mean, you are way in front. Kadarius, and then they had to actually, the stupidity of the Kansas City Chiefs and others to point out, well, Kadarius Toney actually was over the line of scrimmage on about three or four occasions during the game. Well, what the hell is that?
Dan Orlovsky.
I mean, that's just embarrassing. Oh, yeah, you're pointing out, that's Dan Orlovsky, right? You're pointing out how, as if to say, well, you know what? I mean, Dan, what's the problem with him robbing the store? He did it five times. Ain't nobody bothered him then. What's wrong with robbing it a sixth time? That don't make no damn sense, Dan Orlovsky. But that's what he did. I'm just saying that you got, at some point, Shannon, Mahomes has to be able to say, yo, I just need us to be better. I need us to play better. My receivers, we got to step it up, period.
Go ahead, Saturday.
Listen, you have lost your mind on this. I'm just going to tell you right now. I appreciate, like, your conviction about what the receivers are doing. If you think Patrick Mahomes will go just try to piss off all his receivers by saying you can't catch, you can't line up, I'm telling everybody. Captain Obvious can see that they've all screwed up. Like we're talking about it enough. He don't need to go. Let me tell you what happens. Receivers, when they get their feelings hurt, it's only going to get worse. You don't want it to get, you have to go play with these guys and get in the playoffs with these guys and go win hopefully another Super Bowl with these guys. The last thing you want to do is make this a public confrontation. I have no problem with, hey, everybody else making it. We're making enough points. We're showing enough errors by them. We have all seen it. We've all taken the pressure off Patrick Mahomes. He does not need to do that anymore. The last thing you want to do is upset the apple cart with those receivers. Listen, they all know they've dropped the ball. They all know they can't line up sometimes. They all know they're running poor routes, which I think is probably the biggest thing of frustration for Patrick Mahomes. He don't know where they're going to be. That's what drives you crazy, because as a quarterback, he's good enough to put the ball wherever it should be. But when you don't know if that route's going to be cut short, if he's going to stop, is he going to go vertical, all the different combinations that could happen, I think that's the part of the frustration that you see from Patrick Mahomes. This ain't about a misalignment. This ain't about a drop. This is about the progression throughout the season of them not getting better. But all that needs to be handled inside the building. It does not need to be a public, acknowledgement. Everybody else in the world knows. Captain Obvious, we've all seen it. Don't be that guy to separate your locker room. He's too smart for that.
Go ahead, Shannon.
You know what? I'm going to put this on Travis Kelce. Because when I was playing and guys would drop passes or do something, I would make light of the situation. Hell, my sister could have caught that one. Mm-hmm. My granny could have got in and out of that break a lot quicker than what you did. You know, I'm going to make light of the situation. Here we are there. We running around like a fire drill. We lining up off sides. So I'm making light of a situation because I knew John wasn't going to do that. So Now that's where I step in, being a leader, and make sure myself, Rod, Ed, all the Willie Green, everybody else is going to be held accountable, because I'm going to say what Seven wouldn't, what John Elway wouldn't. That's
right.
My job. So if I'm Travis Kelce, I get the guys together, we watch a little tape, I'm going to make light of the situation. I'm like, well, damn, did you have your eyes closed on that one, cuz? You know, yeah. I'm gonna make light of it, and they're gonna get the point without me beating them down. I think the thing with Patrick Mahomes, if he were to do this publicly, I agree with you, Saturday, it's gonna even take more of their confidence. And what that's I wanna right. do well, is I wanna make light of a situation and try to give these guys some confidence. We know they're playing bad. That goes without saying. And we know in order for them to get to ultimately where they want to be, Stephen A., they're going to have to play better. But if I'm Travis Kelce, I take that onus off Patrick Mahomes, and I'm going to make light of a situation. I'm going to get the guys together and say we've got to be better in order for us to reach our final destination.
I appreciate both of y'all points. I truly do. But what I'm saying is, damn, how much more can he do in terms of handling the situation?
Nothing.
Right. We approaching week 13. You dropped 33 of my passes. Okay, we lost 5 games because of that. Okay, we lost the game against the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, we lost a couple of other games. First game of the season, we did Detroit. We lost a couple of games this season. How many of my damn passes are you gonna drop? I'm not saying to go into the press room and dog them. I'm going like this. There's a standard that's been set up here. We're not meeting it. We know why. We need to get our act together. Something as simplistic as that is not off-putting as far as I'm concerned. And Shannon, I'll throw this by you and Jeff Saturday. Remember, you've interviewed you and you've talked to the great Isaiah Thomas. Remember what Isaiah Thomas said years ago? You know what? He gave John Sally a pass Saturday. Gave John Sally a pass. He looked at John Sally. You missed that damn shot again. You might not see the ball for 2 weeks.
Yes.
I was interviewing Joe Montana years ago, and we were talking about some receiver controversy and how they were getting into it with their quarterback. And I asked Joe Montana, what would he do? He said, I'd look at the receiver and be like this. You want to see the ball again?
That's right.
He said, because I can assure you, you won't. You know, so you better shut the hell up, watch your mouth, and stuff like that. And then suddenly, you would go about the business of making sure that message was understood. That's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
I'm talking about not pacifying these brothers are grown men. They ain't wearing diapers. They ain't children. This ain't prep school. You're in the pros. You're dropping passes. You're costing us money.
I asked the receivers, I'm like, bro, who made those gloves? Product, they look good, but they damn sure ain't working.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just make light of a situation, and they're going to be laughing. They're like, but, man, I need to get on my grind because I am not playing up to the standard. But here's the thing. You have to be careful because Patrick Mahomes has not had his best year. And the last thing you need him to do is to start to press because now he exacerbates an already bad situation while trying to make these off-kilter throws. He doesn't need to do that. Those guys just need to step up, and I believe it's Trav. Let Trav take on that responsibility.
Yeah, I think part of the issue, and your point is well taken, if it was one receiver, Stephen A., the problem is it's all of the receivers. So it's not just one guy. Like, Sky Moore hasn't done what they expected him to do, right? Tony's making these drops and these errors. Even Rice earlier on, you know, had
–
so it's – they all are MVS. Taking turns, right? Yeah, MVS, right? In the end zone, it's put right in his hands. He has – so everybody is taking their turns. So it's not – if it was one guy, but if you're Patrick Mahomes – that's 4 dudes I just named off. If all you can't not throw it to all 4 of them, like somebody's got to go play, right? You ain't got but 1 dude left, right? So it's elimination of your teammates if you do that. Because again, if it's one player, like look, I play with Manning, but he will look at a dude. You do it again, you ain't getting it, right? Like they do have that mentality. All the great ones do. But if it's the position as a whole, this is where it goes back. And I think Shannon, you said it in the first segment. Man, why don't you go get a Hopkins, bro? Like it blows my mind.
No excuse.
That they didn't go do that.
They
because
got Hopkins.
It's that kind of situation that comes back to bite you in these moments. Because this is the group you're going with.
All I'm going to say, I'm going to give this last word to the both of y'all. We week 13 of this NFL season. Everything y'all said has already been done and tried. You know it has. At some point in time, I gotta get a pulse from you. I gotta get some. I gotta exhaust all means is what I'm trying to say. Again, try something.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Stephen A. Because they had success with that last year. Remember, they got to and won the Super Bowl with that same group of receivers. So they automatically assumed they were going to get even better and go to the next level. They've regressed, and it's shown.
Yep.
Absolutely, Shannon. And now they lead the NFL in drop and drop rate. It's unbelievable.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Let's keep the party going. I got a quick take for you, Stephen A. Check out Victor Wembanyama posterizing Şengün last night. How impressive was this?
Oh, please.
I'm not trying to be a killjoy. Wembanyama can ball, he can handle, he can shoot. I think he's got an incredible future. I'm so happy to see him in the NBA. But I am sick and tired of people trying to make a big deal about a 7'5" guy. He's 7'5". He doesn't have to jump to dunk. I mean, what are we talking? Shannon, the most embarrassing photo of my life was NBA draft night. I'm standing next to Wembanyama to take a picture. I came up to here.
Oh, yeah.
I came up to his stomach. You understand what I'm saying? I'm looking like mini-me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, yo, he's 7'5".
Yeah.
Why are we acting like him dunking is such a big deal?
Yeah, he's only 2 inches. He is only 2 inches shorter than Goliath. And they say Goliath was the tallest man to ever live. Come on,
That's
man.
Right.
He's supposed to be able to dunk. He's 7, so all he has to do is just hold his hand up above his head.
That's
and
right.
He can dunk without jumping. Come on, people. Y'all make it seem like Bugsy Bogues dunked on the guy.
I love my producers here at First Take. They do an outstanding job. We've got some of the best producers in the business. But they got this love affair with Wembanyama.
Everybody.
They really, really do. I mean, oh, my God. Oh, Stephen A., did you see the dunk? What? Did you bring up a dunk for the 7'5" guy? Is that what you do? I mean, really? I would hope so.
Are you more interested in the 17-game losing streak, both them and the Pistons?
Yes.
That's the first time in NBA history.
Both them and what?
Well, the Detroit Pistons.
Yes. Let me say this.
And the Spurs. Right. It's like the first time there's been multiple 17-game losing streaks.
I'm going to say this. That's very, very bad on the part of the San Antonio Spurs 17 straight. Life without Tim Duncan is significantly different
from
Greg Popovich.
Yeah.
Because when he was there, no doubt about it. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the Detroit Pistons, there are people who are not dead, like Rick Mahorn, like Isaiah Thomas, like Joe Dumars, like Bill Laimbeer, and others, who are still rolling over in their graves and they ain't even dead yet. That's how bad the damn Detroit Pistons are. It breaks my heart because I love me some Monty Williams, who I believe can coach, but they have lost 20 straight. They, by the way, got back-to-back games coming up against Philly. That's going to be 22. And then Milwaukee, that's going to be 23, okay? And then, oh, by the way, do you know, dating back to last season, the Detroit Pistons have lost 44 of their last 48 games?
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, you can't – you people take nights off. They sit up there. They, you know, you catch people sleeping. Indiana played in Vegas, lost the championship game, had a day off in Detroit, okay, and still dropped 130 on them when they played against Detroit. The Detroit Pistons are a horror show. Horror show. It's bad, man. And I feel very, very bad for Weaver, Troy Weaver, and Monty Williams. But, my God, I did not expect it to be this bad.
44 or 48?
Yes.
You know what, guys? In a situation like this, I don't even know if I have practice. Because if we're practicing and we're getting our beat, we got to try something else. We got to try something else Saturday. And you know that Saturday. You know in the NFL, if you lose three or four games in a row, the coach is going to move practice. They're going to change meeting times. Yes. We're going to do things differently. We're going to practice differently.
Yes.
But at some point in time, you're like, you know what? Practice, it ain't working. So we might as well just show, hey, I'll see y'all tomorrow. Hey, meet us at the arena at 7 o'clock.
Play a little street ball. We might be better off.
That's bad, Stephen A.
It's 20 straight. It's getting so bad, you should be ashamed to show up at the arena. That's how bad it's looking for them. There's just no excuse for that. I mean, you can't catch somebody sleeping. You can't catch somebody napping. Get something.
Hey, Stephen A., we might need to go to the Pistons game, wear some Air Force One, some Jordan, some LeBron. They might put us in for a couple of minutes.
You know what? Once upon a time, that would have been laughable. We can't even say that. You know what I'm saying? I promise you this, though. I wouldn't shoot like I throw the first pitch. That I promise you.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
I don't know, Stephen A. You ain't shot a basketball in a long time. You might airball that thing.
And let me tell you something. I can't do worse.
Okay.
I can't do worse.
Okay, you compare your shot to what they're doing currently.
How about that?
All right. But these cities deserve better, especially Detroit. Right. They do. I hope they can get it together.
It's bad.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.